We are moving pillars, teaching pillars. We are we just left our ministry pillar, and now we are going into our relationship pillar. Say amen. Okay, we're going into our relationship pillar. If you lock in for these next three messages, the relationship with the Father would be extremely stronger. Okay, in the relationship pillar, we teach a Father's agenda regarding the relationship. How many of y'all know that eternal life has already started? Y'all say amen. But eternal life has already started. We think eternal life is going to start when we die. Eternal life starts when you're born again. Okay, now there's an expectation for you to be a son or a daughter here now. Not when you die. He ain't adopting kids when they die. He adopted kids now. Okay, we get a chance to live our life for him. So if you have not made that decision to be born again, you should. Okay, and if you have not made that decision to live this life in its fullness, you should. Amen. Okay, because I'm telling you, you don't want to. A lot of people, the church has told us for years that eternal life comes after you die. So you live your life the way you want to, and then you die, and you get the biggest surprise of your life. So we want to make sure that we are living according to that. So we are in a new teaching pillar, and we are in a new series. The title of this series is called Strengthening the Bond with Abba. Okay, strengthening the bond with Abba. In this series, we want you to be able to strengthen the relationship with the Father. So strengthening our relationship with the Father is a journey of moving from a place of simply being called. Now, I tell you all the time, you're called first into the family. Okay, then you're called into servitude. Then you're called into ministry. A lot of times we get born again and we think that called means, now that I'm born again, go start a church, go do great things. No, you need to first understand your positioning in the family. Okay, and then from understanding your position in the family, that you are now a child of God, you move into becoming a servant. All right, and then from a servant, now he can entrust things to you. So we want to go from being called to a place of maturing into our inheritance. Amen. We want to mature into our inheritance. The Bible says that we are joint heirs with Christ. It's a shame if we never see that. It's a shame if we come to church every Sunday, but we never get to see how we are joint heirs. That we are heirs of God, which means that we are his inheritance. Okay? He wanted you so that he could give you an inheritance. Amen? He wanted you so he could give you the inheritance. In the book of Romans, when they talk about adoption, that's what adoption is speaking of. It's speaking of them adopting children just for the purpose. What they would do in those days, they would adopt children because they had so much, but they had no heir. So the purpose of adopting them was so that you could receive an inheritance. They wanted to be able to leave something to you. They didn't want to die and then it's just be in oblivion. They wanted to leave something to you. So the purpose of the Father bringing us back into the fold, into the family, was because he wanted to give you everything that he has. So we have to strengthen the bond for that. So in his household, this involves us shifting our mindset from a servant to a son or daughter. Same thing. Amen. But it involves us shifting our mindset of a servant from a servant to that of a son, watch this, who carries the weight and the character of the Father. Okay, we're not just born again, but we have to shift our minds to a place where we carry his weight, meaning his responsibility and his burden. Souls are our responsibility. Okay. The burden of souls, the burden of people being saved, the burden of taking over territories is ours. It belongs to us. This is not something that Jesus does. Okay. This is our burden. So we have to shift it from a childish mindset to having our hands out to saying, Father, what do you want me to do? So there has to be a shift in the household, and we have to become children that carry weight, that carry glory, that spend time in prayer so that we can make sure that we are advancing the kingdom. And then in character, which means mental and moral qualities in which we begin to represent the family name. Our life should represent his name. He said, everything you do in word, everything you do in deed, you should do it in his name. He said, even every time we gather, he said, gather in his name. And that doesn't mean gather and just say, Jesus, 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 Jesus. No, he said, when we gather in this place, we should have one mind and one heart focused on him. When we gather in this place, it should be full of love. We should have patience with one another. We should be gentle with one another. We should be kind to one another. We should be faithful amongst the body. The Bible said that we should share each other's burdens. So there has to be a shift. And this is even why he said, ask in my name. He said, ask in my name that the Father could give it to you. He wants to give it to you because he wants you to have fullness of joy. Now, that goes along with the scripture, which says that in his presence is what? The fullness of joy. So it's a connection between us being in his presence or us asking him for something and being from his presence and having joy. Joy is different from happiness. Happiness is what happens when you get paid. Amen. Joy doesn't matter. You don't have to have none in your bank account. There doesn't have to be anything in your bank account to have joy. It's the connection. If you know that God is your Father, then what you have is not what you have. Y'all ain't there yet, right? We ain't there yet, right? Amen. So in this series, Strengthening the Bond with Abba, we will give you four phases. Say four phases. Okay, we'll give you four phases with 20 points on how to strengthen the bond of the relationship with Abba through maturity and in carrying out responsibilities of his household. Okay, so we're going to give you four phases and we're going to give you 20 points. My job right now, I'm going to give you phase one. Pastor KP is going to give you phase two next week. Then Pastor Kirby is going to give you phase three. Then I'm going to give you phase four. Okay, and each one of us is going to give you 5 points. And you're going to come out of this with having strengthened your relationship with the Father. Amen? So phase one is the foundation of identity. Okay, phase one is the foundation of identity. Give it again for my note takers. Do you have that? It's up there. Yeah. Phase one is the foundation of identity. Now, level one of knowing the Father is going to start with the spirit of adoption. Okay? So before you can function in his household and appropriate the Father's household, you must be, say must be. You must be secure in your identity, your placement within his plan. You have to understand your placement within his plan. You need to be secure in your identity in the household of God, okay? This is your Father's house. He called you, and so now there's work that needs to be done. So as his children, his plan says this, three things. It says that we are sons, say sons. We are seated and we are subduers. Okay, we are sons and daughters. We are his children. Christ in you is the hope of glory, not the devil out of you. Okay, Christ in you is the hope of glory. He wants us to have the mind of Christ. And so, once again, his plan says that we are first sons, then we are seated, and then we are subduers. Okay. So spiritual warfare is not us fighting the devil. Spiritual warfare is not us fighting the devil. It is not us fighting darkness. It is not us fighting demons. Okay, you shouldn't be fighting a battle that you've already won. We fight a battle that we've already won that battle. Satan has already been defeated. So we are not fighting demons. We are not fighting darkness. Okay? Spiritual warfare is us fighting to grasp our true identity. that he said to rule, to reign, to dominate. He said, I created you in my image according to my likeness. And I blessed you and I put you here to do a certain thing. Adam lost that. Jesus came to redeem that. Now in the redemption process, we need to get and grab a hold to our identity, which is who he says we are. Okay, what we're going through right now in the church world is we're fighting against religion and tradition because it suffocates our identity. It brings us to a place where we're just churchgoers. We just come to church to get help with our personal life. No spiritual life. We just come to church to get help with our personal life. We just really want our finances to increase. Don't say nothing. We just really want our personal life to be cushioned. I'm getting your heart right. That's really all we want. We don't have a heartbeat to subdue, to dominate, to take over. We right now, we're at the place where we just want to be comfortable. Come on. We just want to make sure we got the ends meet. They ain't waving. They shaking hands and hopefully overlapping one day. And if they overlap, we satisfied. Come on. I got everything I need. There's a scripture in the Bible for that. You better go back to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and listen to the stories Jesus told. So our fight is against religion and tradition. It is suffocating our identity. By giving us scriptures without a reconciled voice of the Father. So we know all the scriptures in the world, but we can't equate them to his voice. We can't connect them to his voice. There's no parallel in what we read in the Bible and what we hear on a daily basis in his heart towards us. Amen. So I have 5 points on today to strengthen the bond with the Father. Y'all ready? All right, let's go. So our first point is affirm the adoption. Okay, this is. You wrote them all on one thing like that? Okay, that's fine. I want them individual next time, though. That's fine. Well, let's just read them off. So our first point is, I thought I was going to have a whole nother flow. I guess it's what the Father wanted. Amen? Amen. So our first point is to affirm the adoption. Our second point is to practice radical vulnerability. I thought I was going to have a little, be discreet a little bit, come out the gate on you. It didn't happen. Our third point is accept discipline as affection. And then our fourth one is to prioritize the secret place. And then our fifth one is we need to learn the family history. So the first one is we have to affirm the adoption, okay? Which means we have to daily remind ourselves that we are not guests in this household. We are not guests in this household, but we are heirs of God and we are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Now, the word affirm simply means that you have to declare this and you have to defend it. Okay, not only do you have to declare it, you must defend this. Okay, Satan, the demons of darkness, family members, all that, they're going to attack this first and foremost, the adoption process. That's why you can go to a million churches all over the world and you never hear about the adoption. You just hear about law. Okay? And so we have to declare it and we have to defend it. Now, how do we declare it and defend it? First, by simply compiling scriptural evidence. Okay? We have to compile scriptural evidence. John 14 and 18. It says, I would not leave you orphans. I will come to you. I told you this is a scripture that changed my life. It changed my perspective of scripture because I was an orphan. And I know what that means. Okay, to be an orphan, for him to say, I would not leave you orphans, that does not mean that he's going to pull you out the orphanage. That means not only is he going to pull you out the orphanage, but he's going to deal with every orphan issue. Okay, so he's not just bringing you into his household and then ignoring you. He's not bringing you into his household and say, them issues you came here with, Lisa, that's on you. No, he's taking it upon him as a responsible father to do what? Remove that. The hurt, the pain, the anxiety, he wants to remove that. That's why he said, give me what? Your mind? Come on. That's where it's at. Your heart? That's where it's at. Your soul. He said, give that to me. And if you give that to me, then I can remove the orphan. Secondly, Galatians 4:4-7. I'm going to breeze through these and read them so you can just keep going with me. It says, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, you are. You, not you will be. Because you are sons, God, your Father, has sent the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, what? Abba, Father, giving you permission. Don't call me God. Don't call me God. Don't worship God. This is a covenant. The covenant dictates the relationship. Don't just call me God. I love you, God. No, no. It's a lot of gods. I love you, Father. I love you, Abba. I trust you. You need to know him as Abba, Father. Why? Because that's the covenant. That tells how he feels about you first. That tells his intentions towards you. Verse 7. He says, therefore, you are no longer. You ain't hear that. You didn't hear that. You kept reading and you just went. Therefore, you are no longer slaves, but a son. And if sons, you are heirs of God, joint heirs to Christ. Hallelujah. You didn't stop. Read that. Therefore, you are no longer a slave. Come on. This is the spirit of adoption. This is how the spirit of adoption sounds. That's what it says. You are no longer this. You are no longer this. So anything that's telling you are this is not God. It's not your Father. It's not the spirit of adoption. We talk about the Holy Spirit, but we never hear the spirit of adoption in the Holy Spirit. So first thing we have to do is what? Compile scriptural evidence and make sure that evidence becomes converted to his voice. Amen. Ephesians 1 and 5. Come on, we just compiled evidence, right? It says, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of what? His will. So when you say, let his will be, this is his will. The adoption is what? It's his will. That's his will for you. Is that you come into the family and that you hear my voice in acceptance. Ephesians 2:18-19. You got 18? Say again. I just did Ephesians 1 and 5. Did I? Did I do Ephesians 2? No, I know I did. Yeah, I did 1 and 5. Okay, there we go. Ephesians 2:18 says, for through him we both have access by one spirit to the Father. This has to become his voice. What? I have access. It has become his voice. You have access. I don't know what I'm going to do. You have access. It has to become his voice. To most believers, that's not his voice. We hear the law. We hear everything we do wrong, but we never hear, I've given you access. So he says, for through him, we both have access by one spirit to God, to the Father. Then this is Paul talking. So you got to remember, these are Paul's writings. Paul heard by the spirit of adoption. This is what the Pharisees didn't hear. They heard the spirit, but they heard the spirit through Moses. And Moses sits in the seat of the law. But the Son is seated in heavenly places. Two different conversations. Amen. Then we have Romans 8:15. It says, For you did not receive. Say, I did not receive. He says, for you did not receive the spirit of slavery. You didn't get that from me. This bondage, it has nothing to do with me. He says, you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear. He said, instead, you have received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Verse 16, it said, the spirit himself would testify together with our spirit that we are his children. So the spirit of adoption tells you that first. It doesn't tell you that 20 years after you've been saved.
Okay, I'm picking.
It doesn't tell you that 5 years after you've been saved. Born again says, I'm now a child. That's why I say religion is suffocating the church. It's suffocating the church. We have so many scriptures, but we are never able to convert them to the voice of our Father. Verse 17 says, and if children, also heirs. Come on, we just gets better and better. It just gets better and better. If children, then heirs, also heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. It didn't say co-heirs, heirs of Jesus. This is how we act. Like Jesus got the inheritance, and we just want to sit at his feet and ask him for some. We want to touch his garment. Well, why Paul didn't say that? Why did Paul say heirs of God? Which means this is where you get your inheritance from, Sierra. You don't get your inheritance from Jesus. You get your inheritance because of what Jesus did. Okay, his death on the cross opened the door to the Father so you can get your inheritance from Abba. You don't get your, we don't get our inheritance from Jesus. We have the same inheritance that he has. Okay, he says, if indeed we suffer with him, we may also be glorified with him. So the first thing we have to do is compile scripture evidence. Did I give you enough scriptures? Y'all want some more? Okay. Well, I ain't got none for this teaching, so I'm glad you said no. Okay. But secondly, what we have to do is we have to convert those scriptures into the Father's voice and into the Father's heart. We have to convert those scriptures. We just can't read it. It just can't be scriptures in the Bible on a page. It has to become his voice and it has to become his heart towards us. So, Janasia, meaning it, whatever we may hear, we have to line it up in the spirit. We have to line it up what he said, AD. What he said about us. This is why the Bible calls Satan the father of lies. He's not going to tell you that. So we have to affirm the adoption through proof that by the Spirit that this is the Father's plan. So the Spirit of adoption, and we talked about when we talked about the Holy Spirit, then when you see the Spirit of, that means that is the work and the power of that Spirit. Okay, so when he say the Spirit of adoption, he let you know that the Holy Spirit is going to work acceptance in your life, not rejection. So the spirit of adoption is him working the power and the work and the power of the adoption, giving you permission to now cry, Abba, Father. It is the spirit of acceptance, say amen. It is not the spirit of rejection. We spend so much time in the church trying to get you into deliverance and try to cast out the spirit of rejection. Come out, spirit of rejection. Come out, spirit of rejection. Come out, spirit of rejection. Come out in the name of Jesus, spirit of rejection. Come out. Why don't you just tell them they accept it? You just tell them they accept it. We're trying to get something out. The Satan out is not the hope of glory. Christ in is the hope of glory. So even if you get saved now, we still got to put something in. It's the thing that's in. The Bible says I can do all things through removing Satan. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. He said, have the mind of Christ. So my thought process is off. Well, what do I need to do? I need to shift my mind to the mind of Christ. The one that said, I only do what my Father tells me to do. The one when Satan approached him in the wilderness, he had the same conversation. It is written. This is what I learned in my household. It is written. This is what I learned growing up. He said the son can only do what he see the father do. It is written. Man shall not live by bread alone. I hear you, Satan. But this is my counter, what my father said. Simple. So it is every spirit that keeps us out of prayer can be classified as the orphan spirit.
Okay.
Every spirit that keeps us out of prayer can be classified as an orphan spirit. It is trying to separate us from our father. It is trying to make us feel fatherless. It is trying to make us feel like we have no help, that we have no covenant, that God exists, Shay, but not for me. He's not thinking about me. So religion gives us Jesus without the Father. Religion gives us the Holy Spirit without the Father. And this is all the Father's plan. How can you teach the word of God and not say what God said? Everything Jesus is saying, he letting you know, my teaching is not mine. It came from the Father. Jesus is letting you know, everything that's coming out of my mouth is coming from this household. He even said that the Holy Spirit will do what? It's going to declare everything that is mine to you. He said, everything, the Holy Spirit is going to speak to you, Sonny, and everything that belongs to Christ, he said, is going to deliver it to you. Look, I want you to know this is what you have. I need you to know everything that you have. Why don't we hear that in the spirit? Because we've been bamboozled, hoodwinked, led astray. Okay. One of the difficult things about this is that in even teaching the word, and people who teach the words, they don't understand is that the ministry of reconciliation is to the Father. Okay? The ministry of reconciliation is not to Jesus. Okay? Y'all with me? High five. Come on. I give me some high fives in this place. Come on, come on, come on. The ministry of reconciliation, Jesus did not reconcile you to the Holy Spirit. Okay? Y'all with me? Jesus did not reconcile you to himself. He was clear on the mission of reconciliation. I'm reconciling you to the Father. What does this mean? That means that your conversation, your dialogue is supposed to be what? With the Father. Not with the Holy Spirit. You should not be talking. Can y'all give me one scripture in the Bible? Somebody talk to the Holy Spirit. I'll wait. Okay, you can't find it. Thank you. Can you think of it from the top of your head? One conversation in the Bible where Jesus talked to the Holy Spirit. I'm killing your religion, ain't I? Give me one conversation where Jesus talked. Jesus, every conversation he had was with the Father. He never said, come here, Holy Spirit. What you think we should do, Holy Spirit? Come in the room, Holy Spirit. I need you right now, Holy Spirit. This is religious banter. This is religious conversation. He never talked to the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit descended on him, he heard his Father. When Peter got a revelation, he said, flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, but my Father in heaven. Every conversation that happened from heaven to earth was supposed to be from the Father to from the Son to the Father. Adam didn't talk to the Holy Spirit. I close. I'm just exposing religious foolishness. Jesus said in John 17 and 4, he said, this is eternal life. He said that they know you, the only true God, and that they know you sent me. You sent me so you can have them. This is the conversation that happens in the spirit realm by the spirit of adoption. When you hear the spirit of religion, you always get the Holy Spirit, but you never get a relationship. We just did the scriptures, Ephesians 2:18. He says, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but you are now members of God's household. Paul said in Colossians 1, 13, 12 and 13, he said, give thanks to the Father who has rescued us. He didn't say give thanks to Jesus who has rescued us. He said, give thanks to the Father who has rescued us from the domain of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of his Son. You see the separation? He said, I rescued you. I did that. I need you to know it. I rescued you. I pulled you out the domain of darkness. I adopted you. I pulled you out the domain of darkness. And then he says, I translated you. I translated you. I pulled you out, then I positioned you. I did that. Your father did that. Not your brother. Not some spirit. There's a spirit. He wanted you to know who did it. So we have to affirm the adoption as the Father's voice permanently. Amen. So I want you to get scriptures. All you need is three. The Bible said out of the mouth of two. Come on, Bible. Come on. Out of what? Out of the mouth of two or three, what? Let every word be established. Out the mouth of two or three. Jesus was so bold with it. He said, I only need two. He said, my father said it. I said it. I don't need nobody else's permission. He said, I heard my father say it, and I said it. He said, that's two. We don't even need a third. So we have to affirm adoption as the Father's voice permanently to you. Our second point is we have to practice radical vulnerability. Now, we got this problem in the natural, okay? We've been in relationships for 10 years, and we still try not to be vulnerable. I don't know. They're going to take advantage. Let me stop, okay? So we have to practice radical vulnerability, which means we have to approach Abba without a mask. Okay, we have to approach the Father without a mask. Since he is our Father, he values honesty over your performance. He values honesty over your performance. The Father is not into trophies, Justin. He is not into the child who got first place. He is not into the child who does everything right. And then the child who does the wrong things, I ignore them. He's not into that. That's not the type of father he is. But we need to practice, say practice. Practice means I'm going to put it into play in my life daily. We're going to practice radical vulnerability. We're going to approach the Father without a mask. Romans 7 and 24. Listen to Paul. Paul said, what a wretched man I am. He looked at his own behavior. He said, the things I want to do, I can't do them. He said, when I try to do right, I can't. Vulnerable. I make mistakes. I mess everything up sometimes. 1 Timothy 1:15, this is Paul talking to Timothy. He said, this saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance. It's not up there. He said, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He said, and I am the worst of them. You see the vulnerability there? This is Paul talking. I was the worst of y'all. He said, I am a wretched man. Proverbs 24 and 16 says a righteous person falls seven times and rises again. So what you know what that means? Abba, he factored in falling. He factored it in that you would not be perfect, that you would make mistakes. That's why he says where sin abounds, grace abounds even the more. So the victory at this stage, y'all ready for this? Y'all ready? Victory at this stage, y'all ready for this? You sure? Victory at this stage, y'all ready? You sure? Okay, victory at this stage is not quitting. It's not quitting. Not quitting, not giving up because I just can't grab a hold to it. He knows what he got himself into. Just like in the natural, if we adopt a child, we get every situation to come. It's our job to love the hell out of that child. Just like it's his job to love the hell out of us. But you got to be vulnerable. You got to be able to come to him and say, I don't know. I can't see. I don't understand. I'm but a child. Ain't that what Solomon said? He said, I'm but a child. I don't know how to come in. I don't know how to go out. I am confused. You know what we go wrong at? I know. I got this. I know. I got this. You lying to yourself. That's the worst lie. That is the worst lie. That is a serial. I don't want to call you a serial killer. Okay. But it's close to it. You're lying to yourself. I got this. It's one thing to lie to a person, but to lie to yourself that you got it and you know you don't got it. You know you can't handle it. You know this is too much for you. It's a scripture in the Bible says he will not put more on than you can bear. So watch this. If you're going through it, you can handle it. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. You got that, sister? If you're going through it, you can handle it. You feel me, Demetri? If you're going, you can handle it. He said, I knew you. He said, watch this. Where sin abounds, grace abounds even more. So grace makes the relationship elastic. And it mends the bond of the relationship through the covenant. The covenant tells you the father's responsibility to you. And then he tells you your responsibility to him. Now watch what his responsibility is. Malika, be a child. That's your responsibility towards be a child. Jesus said, blessed are those. He said, blessed are those who are poor in spirit. What does poor in spirit mean? I don't know. I'm not saying I don't know. That's what it means. That's what it means. He said, if you become poor in spirit, he said, the kingdom is yours. He said, it's yours. He said, if you're meek, he said, the earth is yours. He said, I'm going to show you how to release blessings through vulnerability. Favor comes through vulnerability. You know what hinders favor? I know. I got this. When you know you don't got it, I'm up here trying to be an apostle, a husband, a father. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm going to be honest with y'all. We're in year 7. Can I be honest? I don't know what I'm doing. I've been married for 19 years. Can I be honest with you? Carl, I don't know what I'm doing. 19 years, bro. I don't know what I'm doing. I still got to seek him. I got a 17-year-old, an 18-year-old, and a 20-year-old. I don't know what I'm doing. I have no idea what I'm doing. I don't know. I get up every day, Abba. I don't know what I'm doing, Brandon. Do you think I do? Do I look like it? I don't look like I know it? Good. I don't know. We accept the assignment. Listen, we don't know. This is why he said daily bread. That you're not getting bread for 2 days. You're going to get manna for the day, Shay. That's it. You're not getting the manna for tomorrow. I can't put you out that far. He said, don't worry about tomorrow. He got his own problems. Now, he said, don't worry about tomorrow. He got his own issues. So he's going to give you daily bread. He's not going to give you nothing, so you won't come back to him. So y'all want to go in prayer and go grocery shopping for the month. This is what you want to do. You want to go pray, build yourself up. I'll be back in 2 weeks. No. Everything you did for that day was for that day. Tomorrow, you got to come back again. He set it up like that. You got to come back again. And if you be honest with yourself, the days that you are off is the days you didn't go get the bread. The days you are tired, you are wore out, you are bitter, you can't forgive nobody, it's because you did not come get bread. He set it up like that. He's teaching you relational protocol. You gonna come to me, I see you in the morning. Oh, okay, you gonna take a week off? Watch this. He put you in a situation like Job, like Jonah. You gonna cry, Abba Father. Oh, you gonna cry, Abba. You gonna cry, Abba. I tell people all the time, you gonna do everything I'm telling you. I don't care, y'all hear me. You hear me preaching? You gonna do everything I'm telling you to do. I promise you, you're gonna do it exactly the way the Bible says to do it. Monday will be here tomorrow. You're gonna get up in the morning. You're gonna talk to him first. You're gonna look at that phone? Nah, I talk to them after. So he said, I knew you. Come on. He said, I knew you before. Ain't no surprises. I knew you was gonna be bad. I knew you was gonna be hard-headed as heck. I knew there's gonna be a little selfishness there. I knew you was gonna pout. You was gonna throw pity parties. I knew you was argumentative. I designed you. I know. That's why I tell Shay all the time, Shay, you put that fire in the right place. This place packed. You put the fire in the right place. He know you. He know you reluctant. He know you. He see you. But his plan is to father you, not just get you to obey. His plan is to father you. He's just not looking for your obedience. Just do what I say. See, you got too many relationships like that. Just do what I tell you. That's not him. He's not in it so you can just obey his law. So he can look like, look, I got somebody under control. No, his job is to father you. He says, I drew you with love. Come on. He said, I drew you with loving kindness. Now, that'd be kind of manipulative for you to draw me with loving kindness and then get me and abuse me. Y'all stop watching the movies. No more Tyler Perry movies. He said, I so loved you that I sent my son. He said, I gave you a perfect love. He even said, you love because I first loved you. He said, the only love you got is the love I gave you. So I gave you the love, you ate the love, you received the love, and the love that you're giving people, I gave that to you. So he's telling you, it's my job, Mama Rose, to work loving you. A lot of times people do you wrong. He's trying to work loving you. When people do disrespect you or dishonor, he said, love your enemies. Everything he allowed you to go through, he's trying to work loving you. I got you, Malika. Did I hit you? He said, love your enemies. He said, pray for those who misuse you. He's telling you that when you find out that you have foes, that should be a prayer life. That's a prayer point. Cousin Johnny, he always, you didn't talk about this for 2 weeks. When you going to pray? They always, and that's a lie. Anytime somebody say they always, you know that's a lie. It happened like 3 times. Okay? It happened like 3 times in 2 years, and they always. He's trying to get you to pray. I don't know why they hate me. They don't. He's trying to get you to pray. I don't know why they don't like me. They do like you. The problem is they don't like themselves. And it's hard to like you and if I don't like me. So it's more than obedience. It's a relational covenant. It's more than obedience. It's not obey me, obey me, obey me, obey me. That's Old Testament. That's the Old Testament. That's the old covenant. The new covenant is father, child. I'm going to raise you to dominate, to rule, to reign. I already know your issues. This is why he said, cast your cares on me. That's a father conversation. He said, cast your cares on me. To cast means this, in case you don't know. It means to throw off of myself and to cast on the one who wants the burden. It means for me to get rid of it. Kids have no burdens. Look, I'm telling you. Come on. You ever seen a real child? Come on. They got no, they play. They just all. I remember when y'all was about 14, I'm like, how is this boy out there playing and the sole of his shoe flapping? He just hooping. Just cross over, fade away, flap, shoe flapping open. Kids are careless. By the time you get to adult, that shoe flap is a attention getter. You like, I hope don't nobody see you dragging your foot. Kids don't care. You have to learn how to be a child. So he said, cast your care on me. I'm going to give you the definition one more time. Cast means to throw off of myself and to cast on the one who wants the burden. Fathers relieve the burden of the child. Come on. Fathers relieve the burden of the child in order to not hinder the growth. It's called forgiveness. I have to tell my children, all right, it's all the time. It's okay. It's okay. Alana. We had a perfect garage that's been sitting there all this time. Soon as I let her drive, she hit the garage. The garage's been there the whole time. It ain't nobody touched it. Alana hits the garage. Now, what you think on the back of my head? I got a big old, that would be one of them. She ain't never drive my car again. I'm all the way up the stairs. She ain't never driving my car. I knew I should have never. In my head, it's there. By the time I got to her, I said, it's okay, baby. It's just a car. You okay? You got to relieve the burden so she can grow. What's more important, the car or the child? Come on. What's more important? The child is more important. I can get another car. Is it a good garage? We need to intercede for the garage now. She almost did it again last night. I'm sorry. but right before she got, she said, Dad, she called me. She said, I think I'm too close to the edge. And she was. She was like half a centimeter away from the wall. I'm like, just get out. I got it from here. You relieve. You do it again. You ain't going to. What you do now? What am I doing? I'm producing fear. Now she making mistakes because she don't want to make a mistake. This is what he removes from us. That's why in 365 times in the Bible, he said, do not fear. Do not fear. Do not fear. One for every day of the year. Do not fear. Every day you can hear his voice say, do not fear. Do not fear. Do not fear because I'm with you. Do not fear because I'm with you. You done made a mistake and you act like he cared about the thing that you made a mistake with more than anything. You still dwelling on mistakes you made 4 years ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 6 months ago. I forgot what I did yesterday. You got to have short-term memory in this thing. But you, at the same time, you got to have a heart to do the right thing. So to cast it on him means to cast it from time and space to eternity. Get it out your space. Get it out your head. See, this is the thing I hate about, I can't stand about the church, okay? We act like the Father does not, he brings us into his household and he cares nothing about our trauma. The church treats us like he don't care nothing about our trauma. First thing we're going to attack is beer. Yesterday, I picked up a guy. This the father, he works, okay? I was at Walmart, and a guy pulled up. He said, he walked up, and he was on a little scooter, you know, they had at Walmart. And he said, man, you going that direction? He said, can I get a ride? And my heart said, yeah, I got you. As soon as he hopped in the car, y'all bet not, okay? I'm about to tell y'all something. He, you know what he asked me to do? Take him to the liquor store. What you think I did? I took him to the liquor store. On the way to the liquor store, he said, yeah, I go to church right up here. Boom. Door. I didn't say nothing. I just let him talk. He went and got his drink. He came out. He said, can you take me home? I said, yeah, where you live? Okay. He said, you drink? I said, no. Then I asked him, I said, why you drink? He said, just to relax myself. He said, why you ask? I said, because usually it's because of that or it's because of trauma. Now, if I'm religious, I attack the drinking. You shouldn't be drinking. The Father don't deal with us like that. Now, the thing can become a weight, okay? But that's not how he deal with us. He wants to know what's the trauma behind alcohol. What's the trauma behind the cigarette? What's the trauma behind the thing that you're doing? Some people don't smoke, they don't drink, they eat. It's trauma. So we have a father that cares first about the trauma. When we remove the trauma, you quit the other thing. The other thing is just kind of help you to cope so you don't kill somebody. So you don't spaz out, so you don't snap on somebody. He doesn't care about that thing. Now, I'm not telling you to drink. I'm not telling you to smoke. I'm not telling you to do nothing. I'm telling you his heart. His heart is, first, I care about your trauma. Let me read what I got. Your trauma matters to him. God as a father is not saying, get over it. That's not what he's saying. He's not saying, get over it. He said, I would not leave you orphans. I don't believe in the gospel where God is in his fatherhood overlooks the orphan issue just so you can obey rules and regulations. That's why I told you, Paul heard by the spirit of adoption. That's how he, look at his handiwork in 1 Corinthians 13. He went through a whole thing of love. And I told you, love is a double-edged sword. So the Father would never tell you to be patient with people and he's not patient with you. Forgive such and such, but I'm not going to forgive you. He said, if you don't forgive them, I can't forgive you. So he insists that you forgive people because he forgives you. So we have to become radically vulnerable and take advantage of the access. Okay, we have to become radically, remove the mask. No, everything is not good. No, all your thought processes are not pure. Stop trying to act like you hope. You say, I'm getting there. Amen? Just say, I'm getting there. You trying to say you want people to believe you're something that you're not. That's the worst thing you can be because you're putting on the facade and you're not fooling nobody but you. The person standing across you like, I'm not. Point number three, accept discipline as affection. Okay. Y'all ready for this one? Accept discipline as affection. So you have to view correction not as abuse, but as proof of sonship. Okay. Accept discipline as affection. Accept discipline. You're wrong. Accept discipline, rebukes, reprimands. Every time the Father rebuke you, reprimand you, what is he trying to do? Get you right.
Hebrews 12 and 4 says, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding blood in your striving against sin. Ain't none of us done that. Amen. You ain't try to stop sinning so bad that you bleeding and somebody attacked you because you won't sin. Verse 5, he says, you have forgotten. You have forgotten. You didn't remember. You have forgotten. It slipped your mind, right? You have forgotten the exhortation which addresses you as sons. You forgot that. You've forgotten about that. Now, exhortation is a communication emphatically urging someone to do something. When Paul said, I beseech you, brothers, by the mercy of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, that is him exhorting you into worship. So he said, you forgot the exhortation, which addresses sons. He said, my son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord. He says, nor faint when you are punished by him. Now, discipline and punishment are the exhortations addressed to us. I'm teaching you how to hear in the spirit. Discipline and punishment are exhortations. Discipline is the whole training and education of children. This is a Greek definition. Okay? This is a Greek definition. You believe me? Open your blue letter Bible and just look. It's the whole training of education of children, which relates to the cultivation of the mind and morals. This is what he's trying to do. And employs for this purpose now commandments, now admonitions, now reproofs, and now punishments. It is instructions that aims at increasing virtue. That's discipline. Punishments are to convict you, to bring something to light, to expose and find a fault in order to correct one by the word. This is punishment. It's to reprimand severely, to reprove, to chide, to call into account, to show one their fault, to demand an explanation of deeds not done in the name. He said, this is the exhortation. It's going to be correction. You correct your child if you love them. Amen? You hurt your children when you don't discipline them. Punishments are good for children. Don't be looking at me like that, Michaela. She said, she had a tight face. Like, why you say that? Punishments are good for children. Discipline is good for children. So as parents, if it's good for our children, then as children of God, oh! It's good for your children, but it ain't good for you, right? Verse 6. Y'all ain't ready for this. Y'all sure? It says, for whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. So discipline is love. That correcting voice is trying to get your butt right, trying to realign your mind with your purpose and your destiny, telling you to stop talking, stop doing this, stop doing that. That's love. It's not abuse. So we got to kill the voice in your head that says that correction comes with the stripping of blessings. You think because you ain't been doing right that you're going to be homeless. What? Jesus said, if you being evil, come on. It's in there, ain't it? He said, if you being evil know how to give good gifts, then how much do your... He said, if your child acts... If Zaniah said, Mama, I want some bread, you're not going to give her a stone. If she said, I want some catfish, you're not going to give her a serpent. No matter how she been, no matter how much she been misbehaving, You're not going to give that to your child. He said, you being evil know how to give good gifts. How much more? This is Jesus talking. He said, how much more do your heavenly father? He didn't say mine. He didn't say my father. He said, how much more do your father know how to give good gifts? He's introducing you to the family. He's letting you know this is how we do things in the kingdom. So affection for his children do not only show up in blessings.
We good on that?
So affection for you does not only show up in blessings, checks in the mail. It don't just show up like that. We are part of a society that thinks that love is gifts. And if you don't give me a gift, that means you don't love me. No.
All right.
Verse 7. It says, it is for discipline that you endure.
That's why you're strong.
That's how you keep going. He says, God deals with you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? This is a question. You see the question mark? Yeah. Okay. Verse 8. It says, but if you are without discipline, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate child and you are not sons. He said, if I can't discipline you, I can't father you. If I can't discipline you, I will not father you. Yeah. If I can't discipline you, I can't father you. I can't tell you no, stop, don't, and you disagree with that, and then I say, here, take all these blessings. It's an exchange. If I can't tell you stop, no, don't, then I can't say, here, take the land. Because anything I give you, you need to carry out my character with it. Let's keep going. Verse 9. It says, furthermore, we had earthly fathers to discipline us, and that's not part of the issue that all of us didn't. It says, and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? Verse 10. For they disciplined us for a short time as seemed best for them. But he disciplines us for our good, so that we may share his holiness. So that we may be separated to him, so the spirit realm responds to us like it did Christ. Verse 11. For the moment, all discipline seems to be not to be pleasant, but painful. He says, yet to those who have been trained by it, come on. So that means you're going to have seasons of discipline. Because he needs to train you in hearing his voice. You're going to have seasons of discipline. And sometimes it's going to come from the pulpit. Sometimes it's going to come from your brothers and your sisters. You're not going to like this one. Sometimes it's going to come from your brothers, your job, your boss. Sometimes it's going to come from a sinner. Sometimes it's going to come because he, by him not letting you do something that you know. For moments, all discipline seems not to be pleasant but painful. Yet, for those who are trained by it afterwards, it yields a peaceful fruit of righteousness. So we have to be able to take the discipline and see it as affection. He only doing this because he loved me. Now, if we do that with him, it'll work better amongst us. Amen? It'll work better amongst us. Who he think he talking to? You? Talking to you. Are you above reproof? Reproof? Are you above being corrected? So discipline is because there's a right way to do things, and he found you doing it wrong. Discipline is because we are governed, not governed by laws, but by his name. So he's looking at you like, my child don't act. Come on. You ever went to school, and they told you what your child said, did, and as soon as you got in the car, now you know. You know we don't do that. You know what I said. You know what the name, you know what this household represents. You know I would never tell you to. So discipline is because there's a spirit realm that is governed by laws. And as much as the Father loves you, the spirit realm will only respond to the character of Christ. So he said, everything you do in word or deed, do it in his name. Why? Because he wants the realm to respond to you. He told you how the mind of Christ. Why? Because he wants the realm to respond for you. You praying for finances without the mind of Christ. You praying for advancement without the mind of Christ. You're praying that he give you everything on 1,000 hills, the cattle on 1,000 hills. You praying that he give you the business, the Fortune 500 company. Come on, the perfect husband, the perfect wife. Oh, God. And all he said was, let this mind be in you. Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. You know what he's saying? If you get this mind, you can have anything you want. I hit you with that one. That's a bar. He said, if you get the mind of Christ, Brent, I give you anything you want. So what's prohibiting us from getting what we want? It's the mind. He said, a mind set on spiritual things brings life and peace. But a mind set on earthly things brings death. As long as your mind is attached to the world, I ain't giving you nothing. I'm closing the door. All blessings are rejected. He said, if you're a friend with the world, you my enemy. I can't give you my stuff. I told you, listen to little baby. I would not give you anything. I would not give you. You still trying to creep up in the strip club. Your mind off. You still watching this? Okay. I'm not giving you nothing. I can't give you nothing. It ain't even up to him now. Because he created the spirit realm for it. The spirit realm says that as long as you're not aligned with Christ, you can't have what belongs to you. That's why he says as long as the heir is a child, a nepios, it differs nothing from a slave, although you own everything. He said you own everything, but until you mature in your mindset, you can't get it. And he be teasing you sometimes until he let you sit, ooh, I want that. And he wants you to want it. He said he wants to give you the desires of your heart. So what he does is he puts a thing in front of you. You'll be like, ooh, I want that. Father, I want that. He said, read this. He hits you with a scripture. And then you try to ignore it. And then you start scrolling. And somebody come with the scripture again. Then you come to church. And the same scripture come again. I want you to have it, but I need you to mature into it. So discipline is there to produce a harvest. But discipline has to become affection and not abuse to us. Because when it becomes abuse to us, we clam up. We go into the orphan spirit. We start acting like we're being abused. Most people don't come to church because they can't get God to do what they want. And he's not going to change. He said, I'm not man that I should repent. Ain't this all in the Bible? He said, I'm not man that I should repent. I know what I predestined you to have. And until you conform to the image of my son, I'm not giving you nothing at all. Amen? Okay. Point number 4. Prioritize the secret place. Prioritize the secret place. Got good timing. Build a history with Abba where no one else is watching. Build a history with the Father in a secret place where no one else is watching. Establishing a private bond that precedes public service. Prioritize the secret place. Build a history. Did I say history? Build a history with the Father where no one else is watching. Establishing a private bond that precedes public service. I'm going to say it again. Build a history with the Father in prayer by yourself. That is how he really examines your heart. What do you, not when people watching. It's easy when people watching. Katabasi, not by yourself. Nobody watching you. Establishing a private bond that precedes public service. Matthew 6 and 8. This is Jesus talking. He says, but when you pray, because you're going to pray. He didn't say if you pray. He says, but when you do this. Right, Pastor Kirby?
Okay, all right, just waking you up.
He says, when you do this, Justin, he said, when you do it, you're going to do it. Everything I'm telling y'all of it, you're going to do it. If not, you're going to feel like you're walking in mud all through your destiny. Like, why is it so hard? Because you won't do what he said to do. See, this is the part where it ain't got nothing to do with talent. This is why we see so many talented people fall to the wayside. This has nothing to do with talent. This has nothing to do with ability. It has nothing to do with education. It don't matter how smart you are. It don't matter how deep you are. When you pray, you're going to pray. He says, but when you pray, go into your private room, shut your door, and pray to the Father who is in secret. Now, this is soul to soul, okay? We'll talk more about this. He says, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. So he only rewards you for what you do in secret. You spend secret time with me, I'll give you revelation in public. I can't speak to you in public if I can't speak to you in private. You're going to get your destiny in a secret place. You're not going to ignore the secret place, and then he put you all the way up here. And then now you're like, God took me here. So the private life has to precede the public life. Verse 7, he says, when you pray, he said, don't babble like Gentiles, since they imagine they'll be heard for their many words. Verse 8, he says, don't be like them, because your Father knows the things that you need even before you ask. So prayer ain't even about what you need. It's about fellowship, communion. It's not about what you need. Don't bring me your list. I already know. Jesus is saying this. He said, I already know what you need before you ask, girl. I know what you need. I already know. So Jesus said, pray like this. Our Father who art in heaven, he said, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. All them are yours. He said, handle me, my stuff first. First, I'm your Father. Secondly, I want you to be holy representing me. Then he says, I want my will to be done. I want my name, not your name. You don't understand some of the things that Satan implement to pull his children. Ooh, I got a blue check. But heaven don't know you. I got a million followers, but heaven don't know you. You got all these people following you, but you don't have access to the Father. This is what social media is trying to do, get you to get likes. Now, understand, though, none of them like you. Don't none of them like you. Don't none of them care. You think, put on there, I need money. I got this going on. See how many people hit your Cash App. Put your Cash App up there. You want to see how many friends you really got? You got a million followers? Boom. Can all my followers give me 50 cents? You halfway to a million. Psalms 1:1. It says, the one who lives under the protection of the Most High dwells in the shadow of the Almighty. So he wants you to live in the secret place so that when you come out the secret place, you dwell with him. Because when you go into the secret place, you're praying from your spirit. So if your spirit has been in fellowship with the Father in private, then it's open to hear him in public. So he says if you dwell there in prayer, he says what will happen is you'll walk out of prayer, but me and you will still be communicating. But if there's no prayer in a private place, then when you get in public, it's everything around you that has your mind. All the situations and circumstances, they, you can see them, can't you? They on your neck. You can feel it. But this is why he said, this is the connection between prayer and faith. He says, walk by faith and not by sight. The reason why you see too much is because you don't have a relationship with, you haven't prioritized the secret place. And so when you see a problem going on, you announce the problem. You haven't spent enough time with your father to be cool, calm, relaxed, and know I can cast this on him. To know I've been living right. Let's just read a couple more of these. Verse 2, it says, I will say concerning the Lord, who is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Verse 3, he says, he himself will rescue you from the bird trap and from destructive plagues. So he's telling you what happened. This is Old Testament. They're telling you if you dwell in prayer, if you stay at that altar, which is now in the New Testament, what? The altar of the Old Testament is what of the New Testament? The altar of the Old Testament, because we don't have altars in the New Testament. So what is the, I said it this morning, it's the relationship. So we don't have altars, we have a relationship. An altar is a convergence point where man met spirit in the Old Testament. And it wasn't just divine, it wasn't just godly, it was demonically. Why do you think sorcerers make all them candles and they build an altar? Because they want to meet with a spirit, Ouija boards. They want to meet with a spirit and have a conversation, so they build an altar. When we're born again, we don't have to build altars because the relationship is now the altar that we build on. Amen? Verse 4, it says, he will cover you with his feathers. You will take refuge under his wings, and his faithfulness will be a protective shield. Now, all that happens, why? Because you dwelled in a secret place. Because you shut down everything in your life, and you just prayed that day. Because you made it up in your mind, you're going to take an hour out your day every single day, and you're going to spend time with your father. Amen? You made your mind up that you're going to do that. So these are the benefits that happen because you did that. Now, this is the thing about the word of God. If you can do a thing and be benefited from it, then that means if you don't do it, you lose the benefits. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaking. Come on, church. Come on, church. Good measure, pressed down, shaking together, running over, shall he give unto your bosom. He said, other men. So what does that mean? When you don't give, then none of that's going to happen. None of that's going to happen. This is why he disciplines you, because he wants it to happen. Amen? This is why he wants it to happen. He wants you to give, 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 give. All he keeps telling you is give. Matter of fact, he said it's better to give than receive. He said, give, 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 give. And then as soon as it's time for you to give, not even in church, outside of church, you pull up next to somebody, they out there and get their own money. Nope, that ain't the answer. Give. Make a habit of giving. Why? Because if you give, he's going to give it back. He's going to give it unto you. He said, if you give to the poor, he'll pay you. He said, if you give to them, you do stuff for people, it don't matter how they treat you. You do it for them anyway. The Bible says when you do stuff for people who talk crazy about you, he says it's like heaping hot coals on the head. Come on, it's benefits in that. You can be petty. Okay, I see you talking about me. Take this blessing. Come on. It do. Because watch this. They're tearing your name down behind closed doors, but you just giving to them. Okay? So now... I can't deal with this church, Father. Your father is in secret, so the private time with him in secret is what should be displayed publicly. Okay? Your father sees what you do in secret. Our father rewards us for what we do in secret. He does not reward us for what we do in public. Okay? The last thing you want to do is try to show people. Amen? The worst thing you can try to do is show people. Don't try to show folks nothing. Show him. He's watching it all the time. He can provide everything. And the secret place is the oxygen of our Father, which is his love. So when we spend time in the secret place, we go from dwelling to abiding. Amen. I can go on about that. Our fifth and final point is we have to learn the history of the family. We have to learn family history. We have to learn family history. Hear this. Study the word, not just for rules. Got that? Study the word, not just for rules and regulations. Not just for your personal interest and prosperity. Some of y'all never read the Bible again. Study the word, not just for rules, laws, regulations, not just for your personal interest to see what I can get from him, not just for personal prosperity so he can add ducats to my pocket, but study to understand the lineage of faith that you have been grafted into. Study to understand the lineage of faith that you have been grafted into. You have been grafted into a lineage of people who have walked in faith, which means they heard what the Father said and they did it. They didn't have the thing. They didn't have the promises right there before them. Think about Abraham. He told Abraham, leave from amongst your kindred. Go to where? What about my wife? What about my kids? Go. Where you want me to stop at? Go. The Bible says that he did not hesitate towards the promise. He just went. So there's already people in the Bible that it wasn't about their prosperity, but they were prosperous. But they were prosperous because they trusted in him. They were prosperous because of the faith. The Bible said that Abraham hesitated not at the promise. Look at Jesus. Jesus said, I only do what my Father tell me to do. This is faith. Look at where his will was given. Look at what he built. He said, I will build my church. Jesus was a carpenter, not a philanthropist. Amen. He was a carpenter, not a philanthropist. He said, I will build my church. He wasn't waiting for God to send the money to do it.
Okay, we're not going to get there today. They don't like me, Father.
Look at the life of Moses. That you can disrupt somebody's life and say, go lead these people. He didn't even promise no provision. He just said, go do it. And he did what? He just answered to it. Look at what the Bible says about Jesus. He says his zeal for the house of the Lord consumed him. He had a zeal for prayer. He had a zeal for prayer, not for stuff. He had a zeal for prayer. He had a zeal for the house of the Lord. He didn't have a zeal to cash checks. We don't know Jesus' net worth. His zeal was not for earthly things. The brother just wore a robe. That's all we knew. Robe and sandals. That's all we knew. What we know about John? Come on. That brother wore camel hair, eating locusts and honey. I know he a God of provision. He is, but are we a people of faith? So you want to study the scriptures and look at the faith of those. Look at their appetite for the kingdom. Jesus said, I don't have a will. My will is to do the one that sent me. It don't got nothing to do with provision. It don't have nothing to do with accommodations. He didn't have no car. He didn't have the latest Jordan. He had no cushion in his shoes. It wasn't about what he could receive from him. It was all about him staying on the mission. Remember, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. Amen? The kingdom of God is not stuff. The kingdom of God has zero to do with money and everything to do with service. He says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. He said, all that stuff will be added. He didn't say, seek all the other stuff and then say his kingdom. This is what the church tried to do. We want to become millionaires, zillionaires, and then we want to say, this is kingdom. No, the assignment is kingdom. Help! The assignment is kingdom. This is why I tell y'all, the Father only speaks in assignments. He only speaks in assignments. If you hear his voice, you have to ask yourself, if you hear his voice, it should be for an assignment. If you don't hear his voice, what is it that he's asking you to do that you're not doing? Because he only speaks on assignments. You tell me one person in the Bible that he just had a conversation with, and he didn't tell him to go do something. Y'all gonna come back Sunday. Name one person that he spoke to in the Bible and they didn't have an assignment. Nobody. He only speaks according to assignments. The Old Testament is highlighted with people who mimic the reputation of Christ. Look at Daniel. We don't know what he had in his bank account. We don't know his success. We don't know none of the stuff that he had, but we know he prayed 3 times a day. Amen. We know he was on assignment for the Father. We know that. Look at Joseph. For my dreamers. God showed you what? Wake up. God showed you what? He showed you you're going to have what? What you say God showed you he's going to have you, that you're going to have? Tell me that vision again that God said you're going to have, that he's going to give you. Come on, tell me what he said. And then I want you to go back and I want you to read Joseph's story, because Joseph had a dream too. He going to do what? Oh, he going to bless you abundantly? I hate to tell you, that's going to come with some tests. It's going to come with some trials. He's going to make sure you're not only fit, but you're qualified. You can't qualify yourself for his stuff. He has to qualify you. Can I say that again? You can't qualify yourself for what he wants you to do. He has to qualify you. You can't go to Bible school and get qualified for this. There's no degree you can get that qualifies for this. You got to school, went to school for prophets. You went to all them degrees. They can teach you nothing about prophecy. You get all them degrees, 6 degrees. And none of them taught her how to hear the Father's voice. I'm going to get me another degree. You can't hear his voice. Don't get a degree. Get a prayer life. Amen. But if he tell you to go to school, go to school. Okay. So don't try to say I hindered you. Look at the consecration and dedication. Study these things in the scriptures. Study their consecration. Study their dedication in the scriptures. Y'all ready for this one? This is the last scripture? Yes, it is. Ezekiel 4:8. And there's so much conversation you can have about Paul, about Peter. Peter just threw the business down. He just left. He just left the business. He just dropped everything and went to follow Jesus. Study the dedication. Stop always looking for provision and promotions. Study the dedication. Study the consecration. Y'all ready for this? Ezekiel 4:8. Be aware. Well, first of all, let me tell you this. Let me say this before we do this. Ezekiel was told to consecrate for 430 days. That's over a year. Okay? That's up. He put him on a consecration for 430 days. He said, I want you to pray for Israel for 390 days on one side. KP, it's a sin if you roll over. He said, pray for Israel for 390 days on one side. See, we got the million-dollar blessing in us, but we don't have the consecration and the dedication to have the Lord's money to handle the kingdom assignment. He said, stay on one side and pray for Israel, the North Kingdom, for 390 days. And when you get done, you ain't done. Turn to the other side, and he said, consecrate for 40 days for Judah, the South Kingdom. So I want you to spend 430 days consecrating for these kingdoms. You got to clear your schedule. Whatever you had to do, watch this, with your kids, out the window. When Peter, Natasha, look, when Peter got called, he went to follow Jesus. God didn't say, explain none to your wife. Come on, Demetrius. He's Demetrius. He didn't say, explain none to your wife. The Father told me to go do this. Period. You got to make a decision what type of wife you're going to be now. You got to make a decision. When you coming home, right? You gonna do that? I ain't seen you this. Yeah, I didn't get married for all of this. What about this? The Father told me to go do this. He didn't tell me to explain to you nothing. He didn't ask me to. He didn't say get advice from you. He didn't say ask you what I should do. Pretty sure Ezekiel was married. How you going to explain this? The Lord told me to lay on my side for 390 days. What about the kids? What about the house? What are we going to eat? The Lord told me to lay on my side for 390 days. I'm just telling you because you're like, I want to be married. Okay. You want a husband? You want a mighty man of valor. You want a man? Come on. Y'all change your mind? They change their mind. You know what single might be? Yeah, he don't have to answer you to. He don't have to answer you to you. Hold on. Slow up. Okay, kill the conversation. He don't have to answer to you. I'm just telling you, study the Bible, not for rules, regulations, not for my personal interest, not for what I can get. Study for so you can see this thing accurately. Paul decided I ain't even getting married. But he told Ezekiel, he said, imagine Daniel, you get thrown in the lion's den and he don't come get you. And you got to still trust him. Forget money. You ain't thinking about no money in the lion's den. It's stuff beyond that. Because, come on.
told Ezekiel, I want you to lay on one side for 390 days and intercede for them. And people don't even like him. Don't matter. Then turn the other side and do it for 40 more days. Now let's read the scriptures. It says, be aware, I will put cords on you so you cannot turn from side to side until you have finished the days of your siege. So not only am I going to give you the assignment, I'm going to tie you up and make sure you can't turn over. You're like, what's going on in my life? He don't want you to turn over. This season for the secret place. I've been having these things where I cannot sleep at night. So the prophet speaks. Wake up. Maybe it's your season of prayer. I know. I wake up every 2 hours. Go to sleep tired as a dog. 2 hours, I'm up energetic. I'm trying to go back to sleep to get my 5 or 6 in so I can get the day going. No, that's not how it works, son. I'm not going to let you sleep. I'm not going to let you sleep. You will not be sleeping in this season. You will not be resting. Your finances will not be comfortable. This is going to be the season of intercession and prayer. Nope, your relationship is not going to work right now. Hear me from heaven. It's not going to work in this season. He said, I will, but be aware. Now that's crazy. Be aware, I will put cords on you so you cannot turn from side to side. Until you have finished the days of your siege. Till you have finished the assignment. I'm not going to let you go. Sometimes you are in this season and you don't know. You fighting. You got people praying for you. And guess what? It don't work. Can't nobody pray you out of that? Verse 9. Y'all ready for this? Also take wheat, barley, beans, lentil, millet, and spilt. Put them in a single container and make them into bread for yourself. You are to eat it during the number of days you lie on your side for 390 days. Hold up. He got a cook on his side. He told him what to eat. For 390 days, this is all you eating. Say, use me, Lord. days, there will be no Sonic, no Papa Dough. You don't get to decide what you're going to eat. 390 days. You're already inconveniencing me by making me lay on one side and you tying cords, but now you're going to tell me what to eat. Verse 10. He said, the food you eat each day will weigh 8 ounces. You will eat it at a set time. Sometimes your hope in scriptures are not based on studying scriptures. You want the blessings of the Lord to make rich and add no sorrow. This is what you call discipline. He said, when the Lord disciplines you, this is what I want you to do for this season, for this season. You like, my stamps didn't come or nothing. Yep, because this season you eat 8 ounces. Okay, all right. Y'all ready? Okay, I got, give me 10 minutes. All right. Y'all ready? Verse 11. You will also drink a ration of water, a sixth of a gallon, which you will drink at a set time. This is bigger than thy shall not. There's other voice other than rules and regulations. There's specific instructions. Verse 12, and we out. You will eat it as you would on barley cake and bake it over dried human excrement in their sight. This ain't Panera. You're going to cook it over dung.
She says she done.
You mean the Father of Heaven, the all-wise King, the one who owned the cattle on the Thousand Hill, is telling me to bake bread on dung and eat it? You're like, no, Lord. So you have to study the Bible. Okay, you got to study it more than rules and regulations. I did a little brief study of the apostles and how they died. One apostle out of 12 died of old age. Rest of them beheaded. Dipped in oil. I want to tell you it's all about blessings and cash and checks. But he said, when you receive the Spirit, you're going to become a witness. That word in the Greek is a martyr. They were beheaded. They were hung on crosses. A lot of them were hung on crosses. One, Peter was hung on the cross upside down because he didn't want to die like the Lord. Another one was hung on an X cross. I want to tell you that you're going to walk into this calling and you're going to get a mansion. And you're going to have 6 cars. And if I told you that, I'd be lying to you. Because we don't study assignments. Even when we study prosperity, we don't study assignments. Paul is on assignment for the Father, talking about I'm cold, naked, and homeless. Praying tongues more than all of us. I killed y'all vibe. You got to study the scriptures. So you don't think, watch this, that he's mistreating you. When he asks you to do something, that's way out the comfort of your mindset. Because you thought blessed and highly favored mean cushion, AC in the house, drive 4 car. We got 4. Which one you want to drive today, boo? You think that's what that means? It doesn't mean that. Jesus says, foxes have holes, birds have nests, but the Son of Man ain't got nowhere to lay his head. When he sent the disciples out, he said, go out 2 by 2, don't take nothing. You got to study the scriptures more for what rules and regulations and what you can get. Now, he wants us to be blessed. He wants us to have every single thing. But more importantly, he wants us on his assignment regardless of what he give us. Amen? Regardless of what he give us. If you don't have it, still stay on the assignment. Because what we do is we drop the assignment to go get the stuff. We miss priesthood because we got stuff to do. Not understanding that the thing that you're going to get is going to keep you out of priesthood. And what he has to do is intervene and break it in order to get you back. Am I helping you? Now, I'm not saying you're not going to be rich. I'm not saying you're going to have money. We all got hope. We want it, don't we? Come on, we want all the money we can make in this time. The kingdom needs money. So I'm not saying that we're not going to get money, but I'm telling you it is a fantasy to think that money belongs to you and the assignment doesn't. Amen?